Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Kind of has a sci-fi ring to it today, doesn't it? A little bit of that fantasy feeling when we start talking about angels and devils and war and heaven and all this stuff. Well, I'm not an expert, but yeah, I like some of that stuff. I was big into Tolkien and Lewis growing up, and I like Star Wars and Star Trek, and got into some of those things and enjoy them. Never got into Harry Potter quite that much, but I know people who really are into all of that. There's nothing really wrong with that in its right place. Because I've come to a realization, as I thought of these lessons today and thought a little bit about that kind of sci-fi feel to it, that one of the things that in my mind marks that kind of genre, that era of talking about things that sci-fi, that type of fiction has, is this sense that we are not alone. You thought about that? All those adventures, the Star Trek Enterprise and this or that, are always about a group of people. And it's all about reaching out and exploring. Tolkien is that way. C.S. Lewis is that way. It's all about a sense of belonging to something greater and beyond yourself, and about not going at it alone, even when at times you are alone when you see. I think that's what we're getting at today. I think that's what the angel story reminds us, that we are not alone. Now, I admit I'm a child. I grew up in the late 50s and 60s and that kind of thing. So I grew up thinking that before my lifetime was out, we would encounter life from somewhere else. As far as I know, we haven't done that yet. Maybe, who knows? But I just think it's rather vain of us, human beings, to think that we're the only life that God created. And in fact, the more science seems to discover it, the more worlds seem to be out there. We just haven't found a way to get there yet. Or maybe they haven't found a way to get to us. But it seems preposterous that we would think we were it. You know, kind of self-serving our own egos in place of importance in the universe, perhaps. But to think that we're the only life not only doesn't work, I don't think, scientifically. We'll find out, I guess, in somebody's lifetime. But doesn't work biblically. Because while we don't know, the Bible kind of hints there might be some life in a couple other places in the Scripture, we do know this, there is other created life. It is the angels. That mysterious stuff that we talk about that, you know, great when we're kids and we wonder about when we're adults, what does that mean? Well, let's start with the basics. Angel is the term, the Greek term for angel, angela, means messenger. So, an angel is at heart a messenger, someone who brings or conveys the message of God's love and grace to his people. Now, Scripture, it's a little vague, I'll admit to you. In some places, like with Abraham, there are messengers sent that turn out to be God himself. The angels turn out to be God. In other places, there are angels like Michael. And in some places, it's hinted at that you and I are angels to each other, as in, when you entertain guests and strangers, you may have entertained angels unaware, you know. That all of God's creation, in some way, God uses to make sure that we realize that we are not alone, not in this game by ourselves, and that what really, really matters in life is relationships with each other, with creation, with the God who made us. That's where the real sense of worth and wealth and power all come from, is this fact that we are not alone. Yes, there are things we do individually, but Scripture is pretty clear there is nothing that we do totally alone, that we are always surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, by the angels, by God's very presence himself, even when we don't recognize it. We're not alone. We are not alone. So what are we going to make of this stuff? Well, we can make a lot of it. I think I rather tend to use the angel sort of like C.S. Lewis' famous description of the devil. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Lewis said that we make two mistakes about the devil. One, we don't believe in the devil. You know, it's kind of a modern thing not to do that. But I think you got to be blind, deaf, and dumb, to borrow a rock song, if you don't recognize evil in our world. You know? If you don't recognize evil in our own lives and sometimes in our own families, you're really not paying attention. It's easy to witness the fact that there is something going on that tempts us, that leads us down a wrong path, that we may resist at times, but we're not very good at overcoming on our own. So we need to recognize it. And it is true with the angels. to ignore the fact, the story of angels, is to kind of then be put the focus back on our own egos and make us the center of the universe, as though we stand alone somehow out there, which Scripture is pretty clear we don't. We need to recapture, I think, that sense of community and relating and how important that is. But on the other hand, we can go too far. We certainly do that sometimes with Satan. Sometimes people put the devil up as like he's equal to God and they're in an equal battle. Scripture is very clear, there is only a God. There is only one. There is evil, but evil is not equal to God. And the promise given that we got today is that evil is thrown out. That evil rebels against God even in heaven, and evil is thrown out. Whatever you make of that, you're on your own after that point, you know. But that seems clear to me that we need to be careful not to get too infatuated with evil. Then we become frightful and fearful. What are we going to do? How are we going to ever overcome this? We're not capable of it. I don't think that's true with angels. If you get too heavy into angels, and I've known people who are kind of into that a little bit. It's like nothing they did is not an angel doing it for them, or their guardian angel was with them all the time. I think that's a bit too much. Because then we lose fact the fact that our role in all this creation and living out the gospel, and that God has sent his Son for our sakes, not for the sake of the angels. So it's a balancing act. But I want you to hear more than anything else is just how important relationships are, how important the way we interact with each other are, and not to get so self-focused, because we are not alone in this universe. God's presence is here, and he has created the angels that share, even if they're not visible, somehow the space we live in. We are not alone. Hopefully, at least it's my hope, someday we find other creatures like ourselves, somewhat like ourselves, somewhere in this great universe, to share and learn and grow from. That interaction with each other. But we have the opportunity every day, though, to interact with each other, because we're all different. No two of us are alike. So we're not alone in this world we live in. We have family and friends. We encounter people outside these doors. Every day is an opportunity to perhaps encounter a visit from an angel or from God himself. Who knows? But it changes the focus, what I'd like to see. The focus not on the wealth we possess or what we do, but rather on the opportunities we have to share and grow mutually with each other. That sense of community is what I see lacking in our world so much. That sense of belonging to something greater than ourselves, being connected to each other. We've kind of let that go a little bit, and we need to recapture. Tell you a story, true story. You can make of this whatever you want. When I was out at Basie, and many of you have been out to Basie, Bryce's Lord, you know where the church is, it's sort of the end of the world. I mean, you can only kind of get there, and then there's a mountain behind it, you know. It's not easy to get in and out of. People don't wander through Basie on their way to anything else. That's what makes it a great little community in some ways. We were at church one Sunday. We were about to have a meal afterwards, and a young man wandered into the back church. Long hair, and said he was on his way on a trip. You know, did we have any food? Well, I had a wonderful group of people, not unlike yourselves. They immediately took over, made sure they broke out the food that was saved for the meal beforehand, made sure he was fed, set him down, got to talking to him. His name was Michael. And supposedly, he was on the way to Ohio. You don't go to Ohio through Basie, Virginia, trust me. He just can't do it. And we all kind of, and I chuckled, and a couple other people kind of chuckled, thinking, you know, yeah, Michael, right, St. Michael, and all that stuff. But he had a meal with us, he was very kind, walked out the door, we said, you know, we should have offered to give him a ride. So there's only two ways out of Basie. Chimney Rock, and you don't know these places, okay, Chimney Rock and 263. There ain't no other way. They didn't find him. He wasn't on either road, you know, and they left 5 minutes beforehand. So was he an angel? In some ways, yes. He was a visitor to remind us. We were all worried about we'd have enough food, all the stuff you're worried about, community meals, and forgot that what communities really serve is an opportunity to gather together and feed one another, both physically and spiritually. And he renewed that in us. So this day, I hope we'll go out with eyes a little more open to whom we may encounter. Might be Michael, might be God in some other form, but in whatever way, that connection we make to each other reminds us that we are not alone. Angels, God, go with us. Amen.
Amen.